Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Two things, Mitch.
Two things.
Thanks for finally fucking coming back to work.
Yeah, I know.
You're welcome.
You're lucky I came back. I was just going to move out there.
No,
I was pricing houseboats to buy. I'm just going to live out there.
First off, you ain't got fuck you money.
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Someday, maybe.
Yep.
Dude, if I get my wish, by the time you and I are 50, we got fuck you money.
Yeah, we'll see.
We got beach houses. The kids have spouses. There's grandkids running around. Not at 50, but you know what I mean? It starts at 50, and we can just do whatever the fuck we want. Like, that's my goal.
Yeah.
Like, for both of us. Second, I posted this in the Tradewinds group the other day on Monday. The fucking World Cup is eating my brain, dude. I love soccer. I love the competition. I love the nations. I love the Olympics, too. Like, fighting, playing
coming
against
together.
Each other and coming together all at the same time. I bet I've watched at least 20 games, maybe 15 start to finish, and then parts of... It's like the NFL, dude. Like, by the time the NFL's over, you're like, I want it to end so I can get my Sundays back.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Dude, it is sucking up so much of my fucking time, but I love everything about it. I love it, man.
I love how all it took was the World Cup happening in the U.S. for everybody to realize they've been manipulated by mainstream media, that the U.S. isn't as bad as they... like.
Oh, yeah. Everyone says America's horrible, and everyone's afraid to come here, and then they come here, and they're like, oh, guess what? It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's amazing.
The people here are super nice. Like, you know what? I had a Republican invite me to barbecue dinner and pay for my dinner, and it was fantastic. I don't know what the fucking problem is. It's great, man.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Smuggling ranch back. I didn't know ranch...
They're blown away by Walmart.
I didn't know that ranch was like a 100% American thing. I thought it was just like, blame me for ignorance.
Yeah.
But people are like smuggling ranch back their fucking suitcases.
In all those videos, they talk about the portion control, or the portions too.
Oh, shit.
They're talking about like, this is like four meals for us at home, and this is all one meal here. And
that's also...
like, that's why we're leading the world in obesity.
Fat. Yeah. That's why they're all fat. I saw one that was like, hey, it was a guy come on there and was like, hey, you don't have to take liquid ranch. You can take the powdered and mix it with sour cream when you get home, and it's like ranch on steroids.
Yeah.
Like, dude, great point. You could literally take 100 of those in the suitcase.
And that's how we infect the rest of the world with cancer and carcinogens and everything else. Got it.
First off, ranch powder. Dude, Hidden Valley ranch powder and sour cream, 16 ounces of sour cream, change your fucking life.
Yeah. And, Ruffles.
I don't care.
Ruffles with ridges.
Dude, Ruffles and French onion dip?
Yep.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's good shit.
Oh, my God. People eating barbecue for the first time?
Yeah.
Like, do they not have barbecue in Europe?
No.
Like, they don't smoke meat?
No.
Like, I know they do in Africa.
Yeah.
And in Hawaiian culture.
Well, they'll smoke it, but it's not barbecue. It's like dry. Right?
Yeah.
What makes barbecue is the sauce and the moisture.
Well, first off, we're not going to get into a whole debate about barbecue. I think you're maybe half correct. But yeah, dude, a slab of ribs? Like, you tell me you've never had a slab of ribs smoked for 6 hours on a set of ribs, but...
I'll say this. I brought deer steaks and deer burgers out to Powell with us. They taste different out there. Something about the scenery, like...
They're better?
Oh, God, yeah.
Dude, that's just... Let's be honest. That's because you were on high from... You were vacation.
No,
high.
Totally.
So everything's better.
Yeah.
Champagne's better. Pussy's better. Everything's better when you're on vacation, dude.
I got up at about 2 in the morning one morning to pee. Our houseboat had a toilet in it. I only used it to shit. I think I only peed in it once or twice. Every other time, I'm just like pissing right off the back of the houseboat. And so I got up at like 2 in the morning to pee.
There's a moon out.
And... Oh, the moon was out every night we were there. It's clear skies.
And it's super dark there because there's no cities close,
right?
There's
no cities close.
So you see a ton of stars.
You're 25 miles by water to the nearest town, and the nearest town only has like 30,000 people.
So you could see the Milky Way with your naked eye.
Yes. Yeah. I saw the Milky Way with my naked eye.
It's cool as fuck.
And I'm like, that. I didn't think to go take a picture. My sons were taking pictures of it.
Yeah.
I didn't think to go grab my phone and take a picture of it.
I don't know if we've ever actually talked about it. Like when we go skiing and stuff, mm-hmm. if I wake up at night, sometimes I'll walk out and just be like, you know, just look around. Most of the time it's cloudy, so it's tough.
Yeah.
You know, but
well,
like
ski resorts are hard because they're pretty well lit up and all the sun bouncing or all the lights bouncing off the snow. Yeah.
Hunting trips. Like if you go elk hunting and you're out in the mountains and you wake up in the middle of the night, the best thing you can do is just fucking get up and
look
go out.
Yeah.
Just go out.
Yeah.
Like, don't go to the bathroom, go back to bed, go outside
and
fucking have a look around.
Yeah, go look up.
People forget how, like, there's a whole debate of LED lights and everything in the cities, which I get. They should dim that shit down by like half. Light pollution's a real thing.
Yeah.
But man, when you're out here even in our neck of the woods, like, we're kind of in the middle of the country.
Mm-hmm.
If you and I want to drive 30 minutes and kind of have that look, we can get it.
Oh, yeah.
Our elevation's lower, so it's not as great.
Yeah.
But we can get it. People miss out on that in the city, dude.
Yeah.
And they just get infatuated with, oh, it's the city lights, and this is what, you know, America's really about. It's not.
Yeah.
Dude, people miss out on nature.
Made a video saying, if you want to hate America, watch the news. If you want to fall in love with it, drive across it.
Dude.
Go explore it.
I didn't see that. That's gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
dude, go down to Table Rock Lake and fucking be on the water for 4 days.
Yeah.
You know? Come to the Midwest. You know what? First, I'll retract that. If you're a liberal turd and love the city, don't come to the Midwest. Stay where you're at.
Yeah.
Leave this to us. Let us have our area that you hate so much.
Yeah.
Like, you just stay in Chicago.
I saw a picture. It was a young kid wearing a shirt. And this kid was like 2. And he's wearing a shirt.
Even better.
That says, "Don't bring your San Francisco to my Bradenton."
Yeah, no shit, Bradenton, Florida.
But, yeah,
dude, I love. We've talked about this on the show before. Anna Maria Island is basically the island west of Bradenton, Florida, and then Sarasota is south. And yeah, the fucking traffic is horrible. It's expensive. It kind of sucks, you know, as far as having to deal with people. But dude, the beaches.
Yep.
The atmosphere, people are laid back, the sunshine, the fishing. Like, it makes you okay with the fact that when you go into town to get groceries, it sucks fucking ass.
Yep.
It just does.
Yeah.
And there's something, I think, that a lot of people that are stuck in their, you know, cities that don't have those attributes kind of are missing out of, and they don't even realize they're out there.
Yeah.
You know, they don't realize that, hey, I could just drive down to Alabama Shores and be on the beach for a week and really see what it's like to live somewhere nice.
You don't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
It's, we talked about this, I think it's 2 weeks ago. We're going to Destin, Florida with some of the Tradewinds guys. Dude, I'm ready to be on the beach.
Yeah.
I am ready. John Castro hit me up the other day. He's like, hey, were you serious about maybe putting a fishing charter together? And like, and I was like, yeah, I'm seriously thinking about it. He's like,
that'd be hard for this trip, though, because you'd only be able to do it in the afternoon.
First off, most of them start at, you can do a 4, 6, or an 8. So it actually works perfect if you want to do it.
They'll go out in the afternoon,
though?
Oh,
yeah, in the evening, yeah.
Okay.
They'll do it. It's crazy. He's from Costa Rica. He's like, I'm not really into fishing. I don't know. You know, and I'm like, dude, that, you know what? Maybe I will put something together and we'll go fucking fishing for one. We don't have to offshore. You just bay fish.
Yeah.
You know, you take 4 or 5 guys and bay fish.
Yeah. You go an hour.
Yeah.
You don't have to go offshore.
No, you don't.
So.
Man.
Do they have tuna there?
No. No. But to my point, I'm really itching to get out of here. I didn't get to go to Lake Powell. I had to stay here and work.
Is it tuna? They have tuna in Cancun?
I don't know.
Small fish. Not the
bluefin tuna are huge. Yellowfin tuna are smaller. But when I say smaller, I mean 50 pounds and this big.
So Cancun.
Oh, we're getting into some fishing stuff. Here we go.
I think it was tuna. Ceviche on the back of the boat. Like, you catch it. They caught it up.
Dude, hit the Google machine. I think ceviche is a type of
It's a type
cooking.
Of cooking. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I think
but
you
they
can
would
do
it for can. I think it was...
I think you can do a lot of fish ceviche style. I think you can really eat any fish ceviche. What did we...
Blackfin and yellowfin tuna.
Okay.
Okay.
So you must have been catching yellowfin.
So,
or blackfin.
Do they have that in Florida?
I don't know, man.
Coolest experience
so
I've ever had...
So it's the Gulf side, so I don't know.
Coolest experience I've ever had deep sea fishing was we were catching, I think it was yellowfin tuna, And they weren't huge. I mean, they were 14, 16 inches long. Okay. But
those must have been blacks.
Okay.
Must have been blackfin.
But they would fillet it right on the back of the boat on a wooden cutting board.
Yeah.
And then they would throw all the rest of the fish in the water and they just had the meat there. And then
the fillets, yeah.
They had a couple of lemons and they would squeeze lemon juice on it and they had some tahini and they put it in a bowl and mix it up with some tahini.
They're tossing it like this.
And then the lemon juice in the sun cooks it, ceviche style, and you eat it. Like,
yeah, you
eat it. I just caught that bitch 5 minutes
ago. It's like sushi.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Dude, there's something.
So good.
Dude, tuna tartare. We had this when we went to Indy.
Yeah.
You ordered it the first day, and I was like, what is this guy doing? Maybe it was Gary Dickerson ordered it. I can't remember. One of you. Dude.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
And there's only a few restaurants in KC where you can get it, and it's actually fresh. Love it.
Yeah.
It's seared, but mostly raw. Mmm. God, I gotta go on vacation.
Yeah.
I'm itching, bro.
Dude, Danielle and I were just talking about it, this Lake Powell thing. It is a vacation, but it's work, and it's stressful, and it's not a relaxing vacation, right?
No.
It's a very active vacation.
Yeah.
And so it was like, man, we almost need a vacation from our vacation. Well, we kind of got one coming up, kind of. It's half work, half play.
So. Yeah, but I don't, it's not going to be, so normally when we have these events, it's a ton of people.
Yeah.
It's looking like there's only be 10 of us.
Yeah.
So it's not, like, it's going to be fantastic.
So what's funny is I probably dive more harder in on that because I can have a deeper impact on fewer people.
No, you 100% do.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. The people that are coming are going to get, they're basically going to get us doing their jobs.
Concierge coaching service for.
No, we're going to be, you, I, and Aaron are going to be doing their jobs.
Yeah.
For 8 hours, essentially.
Yeah.
We're just going to do whatever they want us to do.
Yeah.
And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to go on the beach.
We're going to go on the beach.
And maybe I'll take some guys fishing.
And I won't be able to drink still. So.
Oh, you still on the wagon?
So my medicine got punted out for 90 days. So
I know, but I can't remember everything.
Yeah.
How long is it for?
End of August.
End of August?
Yeah.
So dude.
What I thought was going to be 30
shit.
It's dry summer for me. So I've had 3 ounces
August,
of alcohol
September.
All summer.
Well,
3 ounces.
I know I've said this on the show before. I owe you a fancy dinner.
Yeah.
Janine and I were literally talking about this 2 days ago. I said we need to get it scheduled and get reservations. Where are we going to go?
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking, well, I got to wait because if I'm going to buy a bottle of champagne or you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, well, God damn it, Mitch.
I know. It sucks.
You're telling me I got to wait till September 1?
Well, and now
when's it over? September 1?
With this 1? Bullshit, I can't get in the water for 30 days.
Oh,
I can't
God.
Get in the lake for 30 days.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
2 weeks for a swimming pool.
First off,
4 weeks for a lake.
You can get in salt water. You'll be fine.
Ooh, salt water.
Salt water's fine.
Yeah, salt water's probably good.
The bacteria. It's bacteria they're worried about.
Yeah.
So no Blue Springs Lake.
Yep.
Ever.
We did boys' night last night. It's the
Again,
first night I've done boys' night and not gotten in the water.
Well, it's not for you. Boys' night's not for you.
No, I know, but usually Mason leads it off and I finish it. That's kind of our.
So Mason led it off, and he finished it.
And no, we finished it by snap. We broke our fucking tube rope, and it launched into the boat. Thank God it didn't hit anybody.
How do you break a tube rope?
It's a story.
Okay, so when Mitch says it's a story, it means it's my fault.
No.
Yo,
let's just say we had a tuber go 4 feet underwater, not letting go of the tube.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
The tube porpoised and went underwater.
Was it disinflated?
No, the back came unzipped.
Oh, filled with water?
I think it filled with water. The bag filled with water.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't sink, but it was full enough with water that when the boat tried to pull it,
it sunk,
if
went
your
underwater.
Weight was on the forward part of it, it just went underwater. This guy submarined.
Have I ever told you about my dad almost killing me? We lived at Lake Lotawanna when we were kids.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, we lived with our mom. Our dad had his new wife at Lotawanna, so we went every other weekend. We had a tube that was like an old school black inflatable inner tire tube.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like it was a white trash piece of shit.
Rope tied around the inner tube.
Rope tied around. It wasn't full. So we would ride on it, and it was smaller, so you'd ride on it on your knees.
Yeah.
Well, my knees got sucked into kind of the inside. My feet are up on the back. My knees are on the inside. Well, it sunk.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get out, even with my life jacket. So I'm bent in a fucking pretzel like this.
Yeah.
Screaming. My hands wave. I'm like fucking drowning.
Yeah.
And this motherfucker is just going.
Yeah.
Doesn't see.
That's a form of therapy for fathers.
It's,
I
first
can't
off,
hit my kid.
First off.
But I'm going to drown his ass on the tube.
Fuck him. Okay? Fuck that son of a bitch. I almost drowned. My back was fucked up for. Luckily, I was young and rubbery. Like, I was probably, my guess is 8 or 9.
Yeah.
So I bounced back. But I will, dude, I remember it like it happened yesterday. I thought I was going to fucking die.
That's funny.
That's the closest I've ever come to thinking I was going to die.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to die. I was like, I'm drowning right here in this fucking lake right now.
We snapped our
Brown Bay liner. Fuck him.
Last night.
I have not let it go.
So we used the 50-foot tube rope initially to pull our Malibu with the houseboat. So like when you get out to Lake Powell.
Well, that'll weaken a rope real quick.
No, so it actually it was fine for that. And it was holding fine and everything was good. And everyone else other than me was worried that we were stressing that rope out too much. And so I said, well, if you guys are really worried about it, we'll double it up. We'll fold it in half.
Yeah.
Houseboat's got two cleats on the back, so we'll run it from one cleat through the bow eye of the Malibu and then up to the other cleat.
Well, it still puts stress on the anchor point where it crosses in the back.
Well,
you know what I mean?
So the loops are on the
no, I get
cleats.
It. But where it goes through on the one
where
boat,
it goes through on the bow eye.
Those first 3 feet where it goes back and forth.
But it's
we're weak as fuck.
But it's it's splitting the load 50-50 on the rope now, right?
Yeah, but the wear's worse.
But it wore it almost cut through the rope at going through the bow eye. And so I tied a big knot in it, lost, you know, 6-8 inches of rope.
Not a big deal.
But tied a big knot in it, and then we just started using the houseboat's anchor rope to pull the Malibu. And the houseboat's anchor rope is like an inch and a quarter rope.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Right? And so we started using that, and everything was fine. Well, that knot is where the tube rope snapped in half last night.
So it was your fault. Got it. Understood.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, anything that happens on a boat, your fault. But thankfully, when it, like, half of it, the tube was underwater, so the tuber was not at risk of getting slingshotted in the face with
or,
the rope.
Or just let go, you know.
You
fucking let go, bro.
They on these guys that come out for boys' night, we give them the signs of if you want to go faster, it's thumbs up. If you want to go slower, it's thumbs down.
Yeah.
If you want to be done, it's the hand across the neck.
Or
like
let
I'm
go.
Done.
Or and, just let go.
And so they were like, all right, well, I'm going to throw you guys a new sign. Okay, you'll know what it is. Okay, they get out there and they go like thumbs up and then middle finger. And so Mason's like, all right. And Mason's tossing them off the tube, you know.
That's
and
gold.
So these guys are like competition tubers. It's funny. But yeah, that rope came right back at everybody in the boat. And thankfully, it didn't hit anybody.
Dude,
so
well, it's hard to be a competition tuber on that boat. It only does like 30 miles an hour.
It corners hard.
Dude.
It corners real hard.
I'm supposed to be taking Layla.
It goes 39, by the way.
I'm supposed to take Layla and her little friend tubing.
Yeah.
They want to go. And I'm like, I can do it on the Lund. It's not a big deal. It's got two outside hooks that's made for a rope, and then it's got a ball, and then you just go, right?
Yep.
That boat will do 60 on glass.
Yeah.
With two
You're not tubing at 60 miles an hour.
My point is, if you want to be a badass competition tuber, I'll take you.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Like, we'll go at 5 a.m. and we'll see. Like, that thing.
I mean, hell, the tube on it says don't exceed 20 miles an hour.
Fuck that tube. I will kill everyone on that
tube. It's a V-Vor tube, too.
Dude, I'll never.
V-Vor.com.
Yeah, I'll never forget. One, Janine and I have been, you know, her and I were on and off again. We're like from, you know, 16, 17 to till we got married. One time. Before I proposed, but we were dating, they went down to Table Rock when her parents still lived up here. and he had a boat, kind of like the boat I have now, and they were tubing and stuff. And I said, yeah, I'll go. I said, Joe, I want you to try to like kill me. And I'm pretty sure at this time he hates my guts because, you know, for obvious reasons.
Right.
Dude, he whipped me outside of the wake doing, I don't know, 50 miles an hour, maybe 45, and a deck or a houseboat had gone by, and I hit that thing like the second wake.
Hell yeah.
The tube, no, not hell yeah, smacked me in the jaw,
hell
launched
yeah.
me about 15 feet in the air. And like I hit the water and thought I was dead. I was like, oh my God, like water's in your nose, in your eyes. You can't breathe because you've landed so hard. He rolls up, like they pull up next to me. Everyone is concerned. Are you okay? Are you? He's laughing his ass off. He's just laughing as hard as he can. I get in the boat and I was like, I probably shouldn't have said what I said, should I? And he's like, nope. He's like, you want to go again? Nope. I'm out, dude. I'm out. But, you know, it was a lot of fun. So I'm going to try to kill those girls when I take them.
Get it.
I'm going to try to kill one of them.
Yeah.
And one of them is mine. So, you know.
Get it.
I don't
know. They skip. They skip real good.
Take her out to Longview.
Yeah.
Longview's nice. It's not as big as...
Yeah, you can get gators and bobcats out there.
Did you see that gator they caught?
Yeah.
Everyone knows there's been mountain lions out there for fucking 20 yeah. years. Give me a break.
Big surprise. But the mountain gator, lions live where mountain lions live.
The gator.
Yeah. That's
like
somebody's
who,
pet. That
who released that son of a bitch? Somebody had like a little 12-inch, 15-inch gator, and they're like, you know what? Fuck these sons of bitches and yeah. threw it in the lake.
Yeah. That's funny.
Oh, it is funny. What do you want to talk about, dude? We've been rambling for 20 minutes.
I know. So today we're talking about content on social media and how you get attention for your business. So... the most expensive way to advertise your business is to pay digital marketing agencies and to pay for ads and to buy leads and all of this crap. Another really, really expensive and very lackluster way to advertise your business is through lead aggregators like Angie's Leads and Yelp and all of this crap, right? So... if you want to spend gobs and gobs of money on marketing and have very little effectiveness, do that, right? Go sign up for Angie's Leads and be the seventh.
Don't do that.
Be the seventh business to get sold the same lead. And then by the time you call the customer, even though you're calling the customer 30 seconds after you receive the lead, the customer's cussing you out because you're the seventh contractor to call them over the last 3 days.
Yeah.
This is very real stuff. And so, like, if that sounds appealing to you, then by all means, do that. But if you actually want real customers, you know, for a customer to buy from you, they have to know you, they have to like you, and they have to trust you. And so if you actually want customers to shop with you that know you, like you, and trust you, and you want their interaction to go smooth, and you want the buying experience to go smooth, then you have to manufacture a way for them to know you. And you have to create an ability for them to like you. And you have to have the credibility for them to trust you. And so we don't do a lot on YouTube anymore. And of course, I've sold my plumbing company, so I'm loosely involved with it now. But one of the biggest ways that we were successful was we put a lot of videos on YouTube. And YouTube, we've got, you know, 24 or 28,000 subscribers on YouTube, something like that. YouTube adds instant credibility to you and your business. Instant credibility. YouTube is global, right? And so if you want to put some content out on YouTube, edit it up a little bit, be as responsible as you can with it, but start doing some deep dives into the whys and the wheres and the curiosities that customers have with plumbing. So some of the content, nobody goes to YouTube to get your expose on the dangers of hard water, right? They don't care about that. Nobody wants your breakdown on what happens inside your water heater to the molecular level of the water as it's being heated. Like, nobody cares about that shit.
No.
But
is it hot?
They do want to see the inside of a water heater. They do want to see a clogged drain get unclogged. They do want to see you replace a faucet from start to finish, right? And so, you know, we put a lot of videos on YouTube where we were... We turned a toilet into a fish tank.
What?
So it actually started out as a toilet rebuild video. I cut the front of a toilet tank off.
I don't remember this.
Yeah. I cut the whole front of a toilet tank off, and then I siliconed on a piece of plexiglass. So now you could see inside the toilet. And the reason we did that was so that we could show people, instead of from a top-down view, from a straight-on view.
Did you put some fish in there?
Well, we did later. But we wanted to show people from a straight-on view how to rebuild your toilet, how to replace the handle, how to replace the flapper, how to replace the fill valve, flush valve, all of that stuff. And so then, once we had filmed all those videos, I went and got an aquarium backdrop and put it on the back of the tank, and we plucked a couple of goldfish in there.
Did you just put a little screen where the flapper was, so when you flushed it, they had to swim for their life, and then it filled back up, and they were fine?
No.
You should have.
We just flushed them.
Okay.
They just,
you just killed the goldfish?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We
you
sacrificed.
You fucking horrible person.
Yeah, we sacrificed a couple of fish for the video.
But Peter's going to be up your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Nemo didn't survive. I've got a dead bird in my grill right now if Peter's really upset. So
no, Peter's not upset. Oh, my God. You asshole.
We did some stuff about like how to diagnose electric water heaters and how to diagnose gas water heaters and all the different kinds of gas valves on heaters and all of this stuff. To this day, I still have I get to lay claim to this. It's weird things that you can brag about. I have the most viewed video on YouTube for thermal expansion. And it's up, it's closing in on 1 million views. And it's a 35-minute video on what is thermal expansion and how does it work and what's it look like.
Smedley
and
Pullman,
everything else.
They still making money off that?
Yeah.
They're still sending them checks?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And so, in other words, what I'm getting at is the internet's kind of funny. Google owns YouTube. And so this is why it's smart if you run a business to be on YouTube, if you can, is somebody starts looking up water heaters. Well, Google sees that. And so now Google is going to start putting water heater related ads in their view. And then if that person's ever on YouTube, Google is going to start putting water heater related videos in their view.
Yeah.
Well, when somebody in your market sees your video locally, you now have instant credibility with them. Another thing we did, so there's this government program close to us where they put in sump pumps. The government actually pays to put a sump pump into your house. And you have to apply to be on the list of approved contractors and all of this stuff. Well, we did this intentionally, but we put out videos for how to install a sump pump and how to make it last forever and why the method we do is different than any other method and all of this stuff. We did it on purpose because we knew that as people learned about this government program, then the algorithms and the internet of things out there would start putting sump pump related stuff in their view. And so they're subliminally watching videos of ours without even making the connection that we're local to them.
Yeah.
But then they get to the step in the government program where now the government hands them on the list of approved contractors and they have to pick from the list. And they now see a logo and a brand of a company that they've recognized and they know and they like and they trust because they've watched all of our sump pump videos. And so now they pick us.
Even if they don't know, like, and trust you, just the subliminal, I've seen that
inherently,
before.
Yes.
Dude, we've talked about this a lot. We talked about it with Roger Wakefield when he was at our event like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Dude, just the subliminal branding that they don't even recognize, like, tells them, this is where I want to go. You're automatically attracted to it.
Yeah.
We don't realize how much we do it now.
Right.
You know, even like McDonald's. You see a McDonald's logo and it's not subliminal because you know it, but you're like, oh, hey, it's McDonald's.
Yeah.
You're not looking for McDonald's. You don't want to eat McDonald's. You don't want to know anything about McDonald's. You hate McDonald's because their food sucks. But
I still
you know
swear
what?
You can taste a McDonald's fry in your mouth every time you see their logo.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's just, it's that immediate, oh, shit. That back brainwash of, there it is.
Yeah.
They don't realize, and they will automatically go to your logo or your business, like on your list that you're talking about, and call that, and they don't even know why.
Yeah.
They don't even fucking know why.
Yeah.
That's the power of branding.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, that was a lot of YouTube stuff. Well, I was repurposing a lot of those videos on Facebook and social media and all this stuff. And you're going to see through Tradewinds, you're going to see me start doing a lot of videos with Tradewinds here very, very soon. You may even see a couple of them before this show even airs. But I had the opportunity to test a lot of thoughts and theories over this last week or two or three as we've been kind of leading up to our Lake Powell trip. And I don't have a giant following on social media. You know, I've got, let me just check and see here real quick. So on Facebook, I have 7,300 followers. Okay. I would be considered
that's
like
a lot.
That's a lot,
compared
but I would
to
be
a regular
considered
a person. That's a lot.
Correct. But I'm only following 26 people and I've only ever made 5,700 posts.
Well, let's see where fucking Dave's at.
Well, you're going to be way low because you're anti-social media.
I am not anti-social media. Look at what keeps coming up first on my feed.
Yeah, that's funny.
I know. It's so stupid.
But it's 7,300. It's not like I have 100,000 followers, right? It's not like I have a million followers or anything like this. It's 7,300 followers. And
I have 546 followers.
There you go. So that's on Facebook. Let's go Instagram. I don't do a ton on Instagram at all. I have 2,400 followers on Instagram. And then let's go TikTok. Profile TikTok. I have 6,300 followers on TikTok. Okay.
Gee, good Lord, man.
So what I'm getting at with all this is
I'm not patronizing you, but
that,
I am.
That is built off of a method of trying to put out one post a day and trying to remember why people go to social media. People don't go to social media to get an expose on how a water softener works. Yeah. But they do go to social media to see the inside of a pipe of a house that doesn't have a water softener and be like, look, you're drinking this shit. It's gross, ain't it? I can fix that with a water softener. I could go geeky and tell you how this works, or I could just show you a pipe from a house without a softener and a pipe from a house with a softener. Done.
Yeah.
Right? And you don't need to go total nerd on them, right? But you need to kind of tread the line of nerd. The reason people go to social media is they go to social media for two things. They want to check out from reality, and they want to be entertained. And so your videos need to provide them a break from reality, and they need to provide them entertainment, okay? And so catch up on some trends. Trends are super easy to search of trending video themes and types and everything else. You can totally do those. But also, just be as real as you can and be as honest as you can and as transparent with your customers as you can or your potential customers. That will be the freest form of marketing for your business ever, right? So on this trip to Lake Powell, I'm just going to talk about some of the highlights. I'm not going to talk about the highlights of the trip necessarily, but the way that I was able to take these highlights, put them into video form, build my following, and then what came from it, okay? So a couple of weeks before we went on this trip, I saw a quote that said, money spent on vacation, if it created lasting and forever memories for your family and your children, that was an investment, that wasn't an expenditure. And so I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And I like that. So I came up with this idea of creating like video updates of how much it's costing for us to get to Lake Powell and back and all the fuel and everything else. And so again, you don't want to nerd out completely on fuel costs and fuel economy and miles per gallon and headwinds and weather and all of this crap, right?
Yeah.
And so you got to keep it kind of low level, but you still got to talk about the real costs. And the price of fuel is a, I don't want to say it's a divisive topic, but it's a hot topic right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Now that it's low, it's even somehow more hot.
Yeah. Who knows?
I don't understand it.
But so the price of fuel, you know, helps build the following with this and everything else. But I made all these fuel update posts. Every time we got gas, I would update. Okay, we've gone this many miles. We bought this many gallons of gas. We spent this much on fuel. And it was a total of 11 videos I made on just getting fuel.
Yeah.
And so I edited the videos in a way to where I was taking little pictures and little video clips from the passenger seat of the truck. My 17-year-old drove the entire way, 46 hours of seat time.
Yeah.
He drove the entire way.
Yeah, he's a young retard. Yeah. Let him drive. Yeah. If you want to drive, drive, bro.
And so basically
I'm napping over here.
Every fuel update video included like photo and video montage of everything that we drove past between the last fuel stop and this fuel stop. So it was kind of cool. And it let people kind of feel like they're a part of our journey and kind of coming on vacation with us, right? And so I just yesterday put out the last of the fuel videos where it was the 11th and final fuel stop after we got home and topped the truck back off because the truck started up with fuel. And so then I gave a breakdown of the total trip expenses and everything else. And I even, so I teased him at the very beginning of the video. I said, I'm going to break down all the costs, but I've got a special message for you at the end. So stay tuned to the end, right? In other words, you got to get that out in the first 3 to 5 seconds if you want them to stay on. Otherwise, they're going to think it's just another boring fuel video, right?
Well,
and so
Go ahead.
The special message at the end was basically bringing all this together and saying, I've been leading you guys on this journey to talk about how money spent on a vacation like this is not an expense. It's an investment into your kids' future and your grandkids' future because you're setting the standard for the type of vacations that your kids are going to take your grandkids on.
Yeah.
Right?
Two things. You and I have done that with our ski trips.
Uh-huh.
We didn't go last year.
Right.
Layla has asked me every year or every month since then, are we going next year?
Yeah.
Like I know for a 100% fact that the investment that you and I have made in those ski trips is
life changing.
It's already paying dividends.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Mason. I haven't seen Grant. I want to snowboard with Grant. I want to ski with Grant. I want to, you know, go to the fancy restaurant, which she eats chicken fingers. We go to the steak restaurant. It costs us $900. She's eating fucking chicken fingers. But the experience that she gets from us being there and being together, I know 100%. Like when you took that trip, or when we were talking about you taking that trip, I was like, man, this guy's fucking crazy. That's a lot of money for the trip. But I get it.
Yeah.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're going to invest money on anything that you think is fucking insane, it's on family trips.
Yeah.
If you don't have kids and you go with your parents and you're 35, it's benefiting you now.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're investing in family vacations, it's a mental health upgrade for everyone involved.
Yes.
So I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Two, what was the gas total expenditure on the trip? Because I have not seen the last video. So I want, how much money did you spend on the gas trip?
Total.
On gas.
I've got it in my notes here. Hold on.
So I saw an original breakdown of, and I'll let you get there, of the, like the generator spend, the houseboat spend, the wakeboat spend, and the travel spend.
Yeah.
Like what was the total?
Total gas cost was $2,313. Total gallons purchased was 463 gallons.
Not as much as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
$2,300. That's not bad.
So it wasn't as bad as it could have been. Now, gas prices were falling throughout the week, so that was kind of cool,
dude,
too.
Dude, let's be honest. Gas prices have been falling. They're still high.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But they're coming down.
But they're, like, if you can regulate them between 275 and 350.
Yeah.
The country's great. It's growing. Like for a 10-day vacation, $2,300 on gas, which is highest expense probably.
The houseboat rental was the highest expense.
What was that?
$5,000. That was half the total trip cost $10,000. The houseboat rental was half of it at $5,000.
That's not bad. That's still not bad.
Right. Right.
I thought it was going to be worse. When you told me $10,000, like we talked about this before. I think it's going to cost me $10,000. I was like, dude, I kept thinking it's going to be $15,000. It's going to be $14,000.
Well, so
that's really not bad.
There was one night where we docked up, we beached up the houseboat next to this. So one of the higher classes of houseboats is called an Adonia, and they're multi-million dollar houseboats.
Okay. I don't know what that is. But.
So this one was named Omega.
Omega. Get the fuck out of here.
And so Mason jumps on his phone immediately and starts researching who's on this boat.
Of course he does.
They had four, like $500,000 wake boats tied to the back of this thing. Okay. So they had $2 million in wake boats behind their multi-million-dollar houseboat. And so Mason's, you know, researching who's on this thing and everything else, come to find out you can rent this Omega houseboat for $250,000 a week.
Get the fuck out of here. I could buy one.
You can rent this houseboat.
I could buy the houseboat you were on for that.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you could rent
buy a houseboat
out
I was on for a lot cheaper
later.
Than that. Yeah.
Was it a dump?
Yeah, it was literally the cheapest houseboat I could find. And I mean that. Like, I was literally like rank by price, lowest to highest.
Did it cut into your experience that it was the cheapest?
No,
exactly.
So I talk about that in that final video. That if I do this again, I will probably get a larger houseboat. For one, they have bigger engines and they can go faster. But for two, they have more anchors. Our houseboat was so small it only had two anchors, and we blew off the beach twice. And part of it,
you wake up in the middle of the night, and you're floating out in the fucking.
No,
lake?
Thankfully, it never happened at night. It was in the middle of the day.
That's fucking just wake up like, dong. What happened? Fuck.
Well, we were
bounce
tying
off boats.
We were tying our wake boat to the back of it. I set up my big bumper on the back of the houseboat, and we were tying our wake boat to the back. Well, the two anchors are designed to hold the weight of the houseboat, not the weight of the houseboat and our 9,000-pound wake boat.
That's on you, bro.
And so, yeah.
What, could you not bigger, just beach the fucking Malibu?
So we ended up doing that on two high wind days. We beached the Malibu.
Yeah, you have a keel guard.
Yeah,
beach the motherfucker.
Two of the high wind days, we ended up beaching the Malibu because it kept pulling us off the beach. But anyway, so I want to talk about some experiences just from this trip. Now, I'm going to get rid of the elephant in the room first. This trip is unique. Lake Powell is unique, and anything unique already puts you into a class of virality. Okay. If you're going to post a picture or a video of something that nobody else has posted a picture or a video of, that puts you one step closer to virality, right? Yeah.
It's the exotic car thing.
It's the exotic
car thing.
You
got a Lambo and you're posting about your Lambo. People are automatically more drawn to it.
Yeah. And now if you have a Toyota Corolla and you're posting about your Toyota Corolla, unless you've got humor or some other unique characteristic, it's probably not, right?
Yeah, if you got a super motor in it, you're good.
Right.
And you tag it 2JX. Is it a 2JX?
2JZ.
2JZ. Yeah. Thank you. Like, you're gold, right?
But, I do want to get rid of that elephant in the room first that, yes, being on the trip to Lake Powell, there is an element of virality simply because it's Lake Powell. Now, I tagged the location of Lake Powell in these posts. I never hashtagged Lake Powell. And so hashtags help other people find your videos, by the way. But anyway.
Yeah. Yes, we know that. If you don't know that, hey, lesson learned.
Lesson learned, right. And so I started basically making 1 to 2 or 3 videos a day leading up to this trip. I built a homemade rock tamer to keep our boat protected for the 2,500-mile round trip. And I made a video about how I built it. And of course, I caught some clapback in the video of some these engineering nerds that tried to convince me it'll never work. And so that provides me the opportunity to make more content because I made another video and released it either last night or this morning of, okay, after the 2,500-mile trip, here it is. It's still in perfect shape, still working perfectly. So all you naysayers that said it wouldn't work, here it is.
Here
and it
is.
Worked perfectly.
We're
right?
here. This is where we're at.
And so... other things that happened, though, is I developed a new following of people that were following all my accounts simply because they wanted to follow us on this family journey. And they're not following it because we're going to someplace exotic. They're following it because they've fallen in love with a personality online. People absolutely love other people's business. They fucking love it. And so you'll have... I'm going to call it for what it is. You'll have obese people that film themselves eating, and they have 100,000 followers.
Yeah.
It's not my bag, but they'll develop 100,000 followers, and all it is them eating fast food on their couch, and they're talking about how good the fast food tastes. So the key is the consistency at which you deliver the content.
Yeah, I 100% agree that it is the consistency.
It's like 1,000% the consistency.
You know, what you said just like right before that is it is the personality. I don't think it is the personality. I don't think it fucking matters who does it. I think anything in someone else's lives that someone finds intriguing, they will follow. And if it consistently tells a story, this is the sitcom era, okay? Like, people tuned in every Thursday night to follow the lives of the people in the sitcom. It wasn't necessarily the personalities of each individual character. It was the story that they were telling every week. It's just transferred to social media now, and you can see it in live time. You know what I mean? Like you were saying about the obese people that are just eating McDonald's every day.
Yeah.
You know, what was that show where the guy ate McDonald's every day?
Like, yeah.
He was fit and ate it.
Yeah.
Like My Big Size Life, My Big Life.
Something like Super Size Me.
Super Size Me.
Yeah.
Like people found that intriguing. It was completely ridiculous. The show was fucking dumb. But people wanted to see what is going to happen to this guy. So,
well,
and then to your second point of it being consistent, if you're consistent with it and people can continually tune in or pull off of it or enjoy it on a regular basis, they will continue to do so until it's over.
So,
like, you know, we see these shows that go 10 seasons that they should have shut down at season six. But people are already like, hey, I have to see what happens.
Yeah.
I have to see what happens.
Yep.
Well, the rule is the 100% underlying thing is the consistency that it's there for them to watch over and over and over again.
Yep.
It doesn't matter sometimes what the content is.
And proof that your personality doesn't have to be wildly unique, okay? The most viewed, the most subscribed TikTok account, he never says a word. He's never spoken once on TikTok.
I don't know who you're talking about.
His name is Cabby Lame. He's a
lame. That's fantastic.
Senegalese born, like he's a foreigner. Lives in Italy. He's a black guy, very dark skinned black guy, very handsome dude. You've seen his videos. You don't even know it.
I probably have.
He's the guy who mocks life hacks. These people will make life hacks that are actually not a life hack. They're actually harder.
They're trolling for stuff, yeah.
And then he'll go do the thing super simply and then just kind of gesture with his hands like, look how easy that was, okay?
I love the guy already. He's a troll of trolls.
162 million followers on TikTok, beating out Mr. Beast with 92 million followers.
Jesus.
Now, Mr. Beast, obviously, big production value.
I don't follow either one, but...
No, that's fine.
I get what you're
saying. Mr. Beast will spend $1 million to make one video.
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating.
No,
like,
I get it.
Like, now Mr. Beast is big on YouTube, right? But when it comes to TikTok, the reason I'm bringing up this nabby, or cabby lame guy is...
Let me see. Let me show it around. Let me see the name.
K-H-A-B-Y. I'm assuming that's Cabby Lame.
Where am I looking here?
The blue letters up top.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So,
Cabby Lame would be my guess. Like, and I don't want to throw you under the bus here, but this is a great example. Mitch, you're a regular dude.
Yeah.
Like you're hardworking. You're a good family man. You are the typical middle-aged white guy.
I'm as American as American can be.
You're the typical middle-aged white guy that no one wants to fucking hear from.
Right. In the middle of America.
Like right now, you are the guy no one gives a fuck about.
Right.
But the consistency that you put into those videos.
Right.
And your consistency on social media, you have created an insane following, which if people want to really know, I don't fucking understand it.
Yeah.
And it's probably because I'm too close to the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we're great friends. But it doesn't make sense to me. You are the anti person that people want to follow.
Yeah.
And look at how many follows you got last
week. And what's crazy is
it's the storytelling.
I didn't create any of these videos. I simply documented what I'm doing, right? When I built this homemade mud tamer rock tamer mud flap thing for my truck, I was building that anyway.
You hillbilly.
I didn't build it for a video.
Yeah, I know.
I built it because like legit rock tamers are $300 or $400. And I'm like, that's just insane for a fucking piece of rubber. And so I went to Home Depot and went to the farm store and bought some shit and made it myself for like $80.
Dude, first off, shout out to Buckeyes and Feldman's. Love farm stores.
Yeah.
Tractor Supply. Love you guys.
And so And then once it was all assembled, I didn't film me building it and me designing it, and I didn't bore people with that shit. But once it was all built, I'm like, hey, I just want to share something that I made. I didn't want to spend $400 on a set of rock tamers or whatever else, so I just made this one, and it's out of like 1-inch EMT conduit and some stall mat and some self-tapper screws.
Bitch.
And so, you know, that video's got like 15,000 views. It's insane. Okay. Well, then as we started leaving for the trip, I was doing those video montage things with fuel. Pretty boring stuff. They're things I'm doing anyway. They're pictures I'm taking anyway. They're little video clips I'm taking anyway. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm just literally putting it into a video format. And TikTok also has this feature where they call it auto cut, where they you give it all the pictures and videos that you want into your montage, and it will crop them all together. It will do all the editing for you. This is free. It'll put music to it, and it'll give you like 15 different options. Here's a slow song that's going to have slow transitions. Here's a rapid upbeat song that's going to have rapid transitions. Here's one that starts with words if you wanted to like do a vlog and title it at the beginning. Like they give you all these pre-cut things, right? None of this is even in CapCut or anything else, which CapCut's awesome too. But I do all that. And so I'm building this following, and now people are kind of following us along on the journey and everything else. Some of the things I didn't film when we were driving through Colorado Springs, it's pretty late. Our first night driving, it's Friday night. And we get into Colorado Springs, and we're driving to the far side, the west side of Colorado Springs, to our hotel.
It's a long ways from the east to the west side, too.
Yeah. And so we're driving across, and Mason sees a GT500 Mustang. Coming
junk.
Up in the rearview mirror.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's a brand new one.
Junk.
Brand new one.
Yeah, junk.
And Mason's like, Dad, there's a pretty hot car coming up here. Check it out. And he's going to pass us on the right. And we had a turn coming up in the left, so we were in the left lane for a long time. But Mason's going like, it's a boulevard, and so you're kind of tricked. Like, speed limit's 35, and Mason's going almost 50 because it's like a divided highway kind of boulevard kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, this GT500... passes us at like 80 miles an hour, and he's giving us the bird out the window. And I'm like, what the hell is he all mad about? And Mason's like, I don't know, maybe he's mad I'm in the left lane. That's weird.
Fuck you, bro.
And so then we get up, like a minute later, we get up to a stoplight.
God, it wasn't George Diaz, was it?
No. So a minute later, we get up to a stoplight, and there's the GT500 waiting at the light.
Oh, did you get in the finger?
And... there's a guy behind him in a BMW, and the two guys are cussing each other out from the windows. And so we pull up right next to the dude, and I roll my window down, and he looks at me, and I said, you're just making a lot of friends today, aren't you?
Oh, shit, yes.
And he,
yes!
He was like, fuck you, and like he was...
Oh.
And I wasn't antagonizing anything. I wasn't.
Why not?
I wasn't trying to start a fight.
Damn it!
But I'm like, I don't know what your problem was. I mean, we're driving 15 over, and if that's not good enough for you, I don't know what
fuck
else.
Off,
and he's
bro.
Like, get the fuck out of the left lane, and blah blah blah. And he's got his kid in the car, and I said, well,
kicked a dent in his fucking door, dude.
I said, there's three cars at this intersection right now, and you've done pissed off two of them. I think the common denominator's you. And I said, just because you got a hot car doesn't mean you can be an asshole.
Yeah,
and he goes, yeah, it does. I can be whatever I want to be, and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
goes,
get your ass beat, bitch.
And so I lean over, kind of around him, and I start to his teenage kid's in the passenger seat, and I said, hey, bro, I'm sorry about your dad's behavior. It won't always be like this. I hope things get better. So now the guy gets really mad that I'm
bothering
his kid.
You realized 30 seconds ago you said I'm not antagonizing this guy.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, you are.
So anyway.
I fucking love it, bro.
Light turns green. He rips off. The BMW rips off, and they're arguing and everything else, whatever. No big deal. So next stoplight we get to, we're turning left. Cop pulls up next to us.
Oh,
and
shit.
And so I roll the window down again, and I'm like, hey, if you got anything to do, like if you don't have anything to do, the next light up there, that orange GT500 Mustang, he's pretty hot under the collar, and he's driving pretty erratically. Like,
I love it.
Like,
I mean,
you're
a dark bitch, but I love it.
No, it was more or less like that guy's going to get him or his kid in trouble, or like, I mean, he's literally picking road rage fights with everybody.
It's okay. You're still
so
a dark. I love it.
No clue. The light turned green. We turned left. I have no clue what happened after that, right? But the whole purpose of that story is...
I fucking love it.
I texted Danielle and was like, wow, we just got into a heated discussion with this dude, and I gave Danielle the whole download of it, right? So I do a fuel update video the next morning in Colorado Springs, And I also did a video. So one of the previous videos I did, people were saying my truck's squatting and I need helper springs and I need airbags and all this crap. And I don't have my trailer loaded right. And my boat's too heavy for the truck. It's a fucking F-350 that'll tow 70,000 pounds. My boat weighs 9, right?
Dude, I'm telling you, people just want to be right.
I know.
They want to, weasel in some work. Well, we've talked about this a lot. People need shit to do.
Yeah.
People need fucking shit to do.
Well, so I post that video, and a couple hours later, a gentleman comments on the video and says, "Hey, remember me? I was the guy from the orange Mustang from last night. Sorry about that, bro. All good now." And then he posts a picture. He has the exact same truck I do. And he's got a wake boat.
Oh, shit.
And he's like, "We probably have a lot more in common than we think." And a couple of engagements
like
back.
How did he even find it? I mean, we know that phones are listening to us, know our locations.
Algorithms
are pushing people together.
He lives in Colorado Springs. I was in Colorado Springs when I filmed the video.
Hey, find his house. Let's go burn it down.
No, the guy's cool.
No, he's not. But, he's a fucking ass bag.
But he totally, like, he was like, "Sorry about last night. It was just, you know."
Did he give you an excuse?
No.
"My wife cheated on me."
No. He didn't give an excuse. He just said that was out of character for me and I apologize. I hope you and your son have a safe trip to Lake Powell. Like, totally, totally exonerated himself by apologizing for it, right?
I just don't accept apologies anymore when I know that it's just because I got called out on the internet.
The thing has less... No, so I didn't call him out on the internet.
Oh, you did?
No. Never.
He just randomly found you.
He just randomly saw the videos, right?
Okay. And I accept that 70% of the time.
So, but that is proof of how the algorithms put your message in front of people that need to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
100%.
And so... other things that happened on this.
Hey, before we move on, maybe we should have a word from our sponsor.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. Let's do that. Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. It has advanced features for your CRM, your estimates and invoices, your scheduling and dispatching, your good, better, best proposals, because we always promote three options, your maintenance plans, and it will even incorporate the Tradewinds price book. And if you don't have the Tradewinds price book yet, you absolutely should. It's $299. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with software you're currently using, like QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC, so you can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you work. And by simplifying those day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just David and I saying this. Field Pulse has a 4.8 rating with over 600 Google reviews. So head to the link in the description of this show to sign up for a demo of Field Pulse.
Field Pulse.
One last thing that we tell you with it is Field Pulse typically does not take on one-man companies, but if you come into Field Pulse's ecosystem through the link in our show, they will make an exception and take you on as a one- to three-man shop. Typically, they have a three-person minimum. So,
and not only that, if you come in through us, okay, you will get preferential treatment.
Yeah.
They've told us, hands down,
yep,
we want to take care of the people that come in through the void or through Tradewinds.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So
other...
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You're good.
But as the half-assed producer of this show, you're fucking killing me. You're 57 in.
Yeah.
You know.
So other things that happened with this. So I made, the first or second fuel stop video I did, I showed a side profile of the truck, and the truck was squatted a little bit. Do I care? No. Was it on the helper springs? No. Right?
And you're fine.
So there's one of the pieces of advice I got before buying the F-350 over the F-250 was the F-350 actually rides smoother. Because it is rated to tow so much weight, but the top like 2 to 2.5 inches of the suspension travel is very soft.
Yeah.
And so then once it gets down onto the helper springs, that's where it can really lug down and haul some weight. And so we had our truck fucking loaded. The trailer, I mean, it's a boat trailer. You can't adjust the weight bias on the boat trailer.
No.
The boat goes to the bow roller and it just is what it is, right?
Yeah.
And so it wasn't a case of improper trailer weight or anything else.
No, it was you had a bunch loaded in the back of the truck as well.
I had hundreds and hundreds of pounds of liquids in the back of the truck. And so...
psycho.
So, you know, I caught a couple of flack on that. I made a response video. This is something else you can do is when you see a trend in the comments that opens up the opportunity to make a response video about that, and it gives you an opportunity to create more content. And so I made a response video and said, hey, yeah, a lot of people on the previous video were talking about our truck being squatted. I put a tape measure to it. It is squatted by about an inch. Do I care? No. Here's why I don't care. For one, it's a solid front axle truck, so it does not affect the geometry near like it would if it was an independent front suspension truck. For two, we're not even on the helper springs. So I showed that. And then I explained like everything that we have in the truck and why it's so loaded down. And then it's not an improperly loaded trailer. There's actually nothing in the boat.
Well, dude, and big trucks are made to occasionally have to squat.
Yeah.
Engineering is built into the squat so that you can once in a while carry a serious fucking load.
Yeah. And I've had a truck with airbags before. I was in a conversation with somebody last night about this. I had an F-150 that we hauled a 9,000 pound camper to Yellowstone and back, and I put airbags on it. I hated it.
Yeah.
Airbags make it look cool. It makes it look like your truck is tough and it's handling all this weight without squatting.
It rides like shit.
But it rides like a fucking brick.
Yeah. They're brutal.
Not fun.
They're brutal.
So Mason and I were already commenting about, with the truck loaded the way it was, how smooth the ride was out there. It was insanely smooth.
We're getting a little off topic. I do like the helper airbags, so you don't replace your suspension with bags, but they just help cushion it when you're overloaded.
That's what I had.
And you can kind of crush those down a little bit. Those are okay, but you can't.
Still makes it stiff.
You have to be on 2,500 or 250 and up. You need that weight.
Yeah.
You can't do that on a 150 platform or 1500 platform.
I loved how it rode without any helper springs, without any active suspension or any, all the Timbrins or what, you know, all these people are trying to throw out their things. And it's like,
dude, everybody, like, that's unfortunately the one real downside of social media is that.
Yeah.
It's that everyone is an expert in their one little area that they quote unquote want to be an expert in, but it's not that they want to be an expert in it. It's what intrigues them the most.
Yeah.
So they try to armchair quarterback every little thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fine. To your point of, I comment as best I can with those without tearing those people down because it gives your post more legs.
Yeah.
More people see
it. It's engagement.
It. If you're doing that inside of your business, but not tearing people down and more people see you and you become an quote unquote expert like you were saying earlier.
Uh-huh.
What is that, Mitch? It's free fucking advertisement.
Yeah, it's engagement. It's more mileage. It's more reach.
It's more mileage and it's more reach and more people see what's going on. And if you think that people don't, I do this specifically. When people are, and I'm a troll on the internet and I know it's bad, but I hate people. So yep. I do it intentionally. It kind of, it's a weird sickness. I'm not going to get into all that. But when I see someone engage with what I've posted or what I've commented on with someone else's post, I will go through and read what they've posted on other people's reactions to my original post.
Yep.
And I'll comment on those too. And it's a way to double down and create that. We talk about the spider web all the time inside of social media and to get that reach out there, right?
Yep.
But if you do that over and over and over and over again with your business posts, but you're very political about it or you're very, I don't know, non-confrontational about it so that you seem neutral and you seem that you're, it seems like you're calm, cool, and collected.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you're a professional in that area. People will go and look at all of those other comments that you've made inside of that and trust you more.
Yeah.
And like you more and respect you more and call you to work on your HVAC issues, electrical issues, plumbing issues, regardless of what the original post was about because you've garnered that trust.
Yeah.
Just by commenting on those posts.
Yeah.
It's free fucking. Look, so we talk about this inside of Tradewinds all the time. Guys don't want to do it because they're wrench turners. I'm this way, okay? They don't want to fucking do it.
Well,
but it is the new way to advertise your business.
It's not the new way. There's always going to be a new way. Business and wrench turning are two different things. If you love turning wrenches, do not get into business for yourself. If you want to get into business for yourself, you have to be a business mindset
person. You have to know, like it's the E-Myth analogy, right? A person loves baking cakes, and then they go in and they start their own bakery, and then they realize that baking cakes has nothing to do with business ownership. And it's payroll and it's taxes and it's budgeting and it's marketing and it's planning and it's all this stuff. And they end up getting out of it because it's like, no, I just wanted to bake cakes.
Well,
okay, so business ownership wasn't for you, right?
No, you're right. And you're a little off topic of what I was discussing as far as if you can't handle that side of it.
Yeah.
Inside of the social media part of your business. Just don't do that part.
Yeah.
You can still be in business, but if that's something that you aren't good at, hire that shit out.
Right.
Have someone do it for you because it is the new type of advertising.
Yeah. I mean, I had an on-staff videographer for 2.5 years because I was busy running the business. Yeah. And so I was paying somebody to create the videos for me. Right.
Yeah.
So another, I'm going to talk about three more interactions from this trip. And this is just during the trip. This has not been since we've gotten home. So I made a response video to the squatting comments, right?
Okay.
And I said, is the truck squatted? Yes. Do we care? No. It's a solid front axle. We're not on the helper springs. The truck is not squatted because of improper trailer weight. It's squatted because I'm hauling 3 coolers full of food, like cases and cases of water and all like tons of heavy shit. I was hauling tools. I had a off-road jack, like everything.
You never know.
Right.
You never know. I was ready for whatever. A trip right? Like that, bro.
So some guy, his name is Trapper Searless.
Let me see. Spin around so I can see it.
Searless.
Okay. That's a fake name, but go ahead. Yes.
He is somewhere in the western side of the U.S., and he's got a fairly decent following, but he comments on that video about that, you know, are we overloaded? Do I care? And he basically went straight to ChatGPT, and he talked about the dangers of overloaded trailers.
That's because people are afraid of everything, and they think fear-mongering is a fucking way to garner attention. And fuck people like that.
And he must have put a link to my video into ChatGPT, or he used Facebook's Help Me Write a Response feature. There's a Help Me Write button on there.
Yeah.
Don't ever use this because you're getting ready to learn why. So he writes this monologue that, as I'm scrolling on the phone, I shit you not, is 2.5 feet long.
Dude, if people post that shit, I don't even read
and,
it.
Oh, no. I glanced, read it. But it was all paragraphed. You could totally tell ChatGPT or AI wrote it. And it was, you know, it can affect your suspension. Are your tire pressures rated for it? Is the suspension rated for it? Are you overloading the frame of the truck? You know, all of this stuff. What does
Lick
it handle?
My
the
balls, hair bitch.
Characteristics and everything else. And then he adds a thing at the end of, like, just trying to make sure you and your most precious cargo get where they're going safely. And before I even got to it, like, three other people was like, hey, ChatGPT, tell me you went to ChatGPT without telling me you went to ChatGPT. And I commented on it. I said, I see you found the Help Me Write button.
Yeah.
And so then he gets mad.
Of course he gets mad.
And he's like, I'm trying to protect your family, and this is the treatment you get? Or this is the treatment I get?
I don't need your protection, bro.
Bro, you're not trying to protect my family. If you were, you would have like given me your own heartfelt words. You're trying to jump onto the bandwagon of a post or a video that's doing well, and you're trying to gain a following, but you're doing it very disingenuously by using AI to write your video. You don't even these aren't even your thoughts, your words, your anything.
Yeah.
Right? And so then he messages me.
Oh, privately?
Privately.
Oh, yes.
And he sends me a screenshot of my profile. And I said, would you like me to send a screenshot of your profile? And he says, for somebody advertising that they positively impact lives, you sure come across as negative. And I'm like, I'm sorry, bro, but you're wrong. What comes off as negative is using AI to write a big, scary monologue about the dangers of a squatted truck. What comes off as negative is you trying to virtue signal as to favoring my family's safety because the truck is squatted slightly due to payload and not trailer weight distribution. He says, well, if that makes you feel better for your insecurities, your insecurities are glowing right now. And I said, I believe that to be the other way around. He says, wow, I'd hate to live life through your lens and perspective. Good luck.
Dude, I crush these people.
And I said, literally, the first three engagements on your comment were laughing at you for using AI to write your comment. You aren't even using your own thoughts. You aren't even using your own words. That is peak insecurity.
Yeah.
You had to have somebody else write it for you. You're so insecure.
Yeah.
You had to have somebody else write it for you. Well, then he goes and dirty deletes his whole fucking monologue and everything. And then
what does dirty delete mean?
He realized I'm getting crushed on this.
Oh, okay.
And so he just deleted it.
Yeah. Gotcha. Dirty delete is once you're called out, you delete it because you don't want to be called out anymore.
Yes. Okay. Instead of saying, okay, I was wrong, I'm sorry. Instead of owning it, taking accountability for it, yeah. Right? Well,
that's my perspective is double down. I will double down. I don't give a fuck if I'm wrong.
Well, it turns out Trapper Searless is some sort of a business coach. What's funny, so he ended up blocking me.
Of course he did.
Right. But what's funny is,
dude,
if you're getting business coaching from that guy, just know that you're not getting business coaching from him. You're getting business coaching from ChatGPT.
Or from a mindset of fear.
Yeah.
Mindset of fear. It's just a fear-based mindset is what I mean to say.
Right.
By the way, I got banned from Blue Springs Community page somehow.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
I have no idea how.
Yeah.
I didn't see this. And then I go and it's not in my groups. Yep. Like, you don't get a notification when you get banned.
Nope.
First off, I'm going to make myself a participation trophy and give it to myself.
There you go.
For being banned from the Blue Springs community page.
Yeah.
Fuck those people.
Yep. Dude, there's probably, I don't have the time or the bandwidth to do it, but there's probably a whole group of like Blue Springs community awareness band members. Like BANNED.
Yeah.
Right?
I got it.
Have you been banned from the Blue Springs Community Awareness page? You're in the right spot.
There's like four other Blue Springs pages now.
I know.
It's like, okay. It's mostly because that Trisha's a fucking retard.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's a fucking fat, worthless fucking retard.
She's a power trip.
Yeah. Oh, well, my life sucks, and I have no power in my own life, so I'm going to make it over everybody else's.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't know if what I did. My guess is telling the truth like
they screenshotted mine for what I did because I put them on blast and my following is better than theirs on my personal page.
I didn't put them on blast.
So they screenshotted it and put it in there that they banned me because I'm annoying. Never broke a rule. They just didn't like me.
First off, she's right. Second off, you can't ban someone because they're annoying.
Yeah.
Doesn't fucking matter.
It's their private group. They can do whatever they want, but it's just funny. So... the reason this I'm talking
show,
about...
First off, this show is fantastic.
The reason I'm talking about this Trapper Searless guy is he provided massive amounts of engagement. So whenever you get trolls or people that are trying to take your post off the rails, engage with them, especially the insecure motherfuckers like this guy, because they always feel like they have to have the last word. And so they'll literally give you 20 or 30 comments, all you got to do is just keep baiting them into replying and keep baiting them into replying.
You should see. I tagged you yesterday in a post.
I know. I saw it.
Have you read it all the way through?
No.
You should. You should, just because it's exactly what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we're talking about here. And then I went on and...
The last orders are great.
I baited him on some other stuff too.
Yeah.
And then he gave, like yesterday on the original one, he gave like one last, like one liner. And I was like, oh, that's great. And so I baited him again.
Yeah.
And then I just went to bed. Yeah. And then there were like four more today.
Oh, yeah.
So what did I do? Baited him some more. I don't care. I got nothing to do. What's funny is...
the last worders will give you endless comments.
I fucking love it. What people don't understand is... like, I said this earlier about myself. It's a character flaw that I troll people. Like, I don't have a lot going on.
You do it for your enjoyment.
I do it for my enjoyment. I don't have a lot fucking going on. But when I see... when I see bad actors, I will intentionally just roll them.
Yep.
And I don't care. Like, my favorite thing is... well, I could just see that you're mad and you're pissed off about this. And I'm like, actually, I'm having the greatest time of my life right now because this is kind of why I engaged in it. I have nothing going on.
Yep.
This is what's happening. And, dude, I will fuck with these people for hours.
Yeah.
I got nothing going on. I'm watching World Cup.
Yeah.
I have...
it's entertainment.
Like, it is 100% entertainment. I will tell them it's entertainment and they'll still keep going.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, like, if I... I think what I should do, you told me this like 3 weeks ago, I should 100% get the blue check. I should 100% turn on professional mode, and I should just try to start keeping people on the platform and just get paid.
Yeah.
Because I have
it
really...
It comes from posts. It does not come from comments.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can't get monetized from comments. Ah,
fuck.
It's got to be posts.
Well, that's my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
That's my wheelhouse.
It's got to be posts.
Ah, keeping people engaged for being retarded. That, yeah. Like, that's my wheelhouse.
Yep.
Damn it.
So
well, you know what? They should figure out a way to monetize that.
Monetize comments?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Dude, bro.
Maybe that's the next level.
I got nothing fucking going on.
I'm
either tearing someone retard down or lifting up people that actually want to be positive. Those are the two things I'm good at right now.
Yeah.
That's it. It's awful. That's where I'm at.
So two more engagement type video lessons or stories from our trip. One of the, towards the end of our trip, we moved to a spot that we had scouted previously that was this cool little lagoon. And we were not protected from the wind, but we were protected from the rough water. There was like this barrier island, and we were behind the island. And so we had the whole width of the lake's rough water. And when I say rough water, I'm talking like 2.5 foot swells.
Ozarks on super busy yacht day.
And there's not a boat in the water.
Yeah.
It's literally just wind driven.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so
probably they were probably bigger than that. They're probably 3 or 4.
Well, I tried foiling in it because the cool thing with the foil is you can go through rough seas because you're above the water. The seas were so big that they were crashing on my feet and then porpoising the foil wings.
Yeah.
And I have a 2.5 foot mast on my foil. So they were over 2.5 foot seas.
Yeah. They were probably more like 3 or 4 feet.
So,
you dummy.
Anyway.
Wakeboarding.
So we move into this new spot, and we're beaching our houseboat, and we're getting it all anchored up, and we're doing all the things, and I hear Mason just going, oh my gosh, Dad, look, oh my gosh. There's a helicopter overhead. And I'm like, that's fucking cool. He's taken off from like 150 yards from us. And so I'm like, oh, wow, I wasn't anywhere near my phone. Mason got a little video of it. I wasn't anywhere near my phone. But I went and grabbed my phone and stuck it in my pocket. I was worried. I was paranoid. My phone was going to fall out of my pocket while we were beaching houseboats and everything. So yeah. I always left my phone inside.
Yeah. You've lost one in the lake already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude,
exactly.
You need one of those things that like clips on and it's got the little wire and then you clip it to your
like
belt.
Like a leash. Yeah. So anyway, I went and got my phone in my pocket for when he was coming back because I knew he'd probably come back. And so I got a video of him coming back. And so I simply film him flying over the lagoon and then landing in front of his yacht next to his houseboat stacked up with jet skis. And what's funny is not in the video.
Did you get a jet ski?
Is his $500,000 wake boat that's behind his houseboat that you can't even see. Okay. And so I narrate it up. I use a little bit of humor and I'm like, oh, you know, it's obviously moved into the rich neighborhood. We got this guy.
Fuck these bastards. You
know. Oh, no, no. I
no, it's sarcasm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I say, well, I end the video with something like, I hope Danielle doesn't make friends with these guys, otherwise I'm cooked. You know, because guy's got a yacht and a helicopter and a houseboat and everything else, right?
That is sarcasm, but go ahead.
So then...
She ain't going nowhere, bro.
Within 20 or 30 minutes later, the boys are like, we got to go over there and introduce ourselves. We got to say hi. Like, maybe we can get a helicopter ride. And they're like all excited.
You're
and
like, I'm like, no, bro, what are you... This is people's vacation.
No, I'm like, bro, do whatever you want, right? And so...
Did you throw a kayak out? Be like, get on it.
No, at this time, I didn't know the rules for Lake Powell and helicopters and all this stuff. And so there's an island in front of us, and it's all sand. And I said, Mason, go out there with the shovel that we have to dig in our anchors with. Go out there with the shovel and draw a helipad in the sand. And then for like color contrast, if the sand's moist, it'll be a different color.
Yeah.
If it's not moist, then go get the bucket of water
and
fill it in. And like, maybe we'll get the guy to land in front of our houseboat. And so Mason goes and does that. Danielle goes and puts on a bikini and lays out on the roof and of the houseboat.
Anybody.
No. Well, and so then I go climb up on the roof because I can get a better view of the helipad. And I make another video like, oh, now that we have a helicopter pilot as a neighbor, everybody's trying to do what they can to get their attention. Like the boys have drawn a helipad in the sand, hoping he's going to land there. And then I turn around and Danielle's like laying face down in this cheeky bikini, like tanning.
Here's my wife whoring herself out to
I'm
the
like,
helicopter
Danielle's,
guy over here.
Danielle's probably got a lot better tactic to get his attention, but you know, it is what it is. We'll see who gets his attention first.
I'm not
first.
Calling her a whore, but you know.
So both of those videos went
That's gold.
Went way crazy. hundreds of thousands of views. Okay.
I love it.
So the owner of the helicopter starts getting tagged, and it starts getting sent to him, and it starts getting sent to him by tons and tons of people. One of the biggest accounts around Lake Powell is an account called Powell Heads. And it's basically like a group.
Like it's the community page for the lake.
Kind of, yeah.
Like if you lived at the lake, this is Blue Springs community page.
Well, and there's a guy who runs it that's made a business out of it.
Yeah, of course.
He sells cleaning stuff. He has a marine dealership and all this stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
And so Powell Heads knows the guy that pilots the plane.
Of course.
Or the helicopter.
Of course.
And so Powell Heads sends it to him and all this stuff. And so next thing I know, we're getting comments from that crew of people being like, dude, the winds are too busy right now, but totally come over tomorrow morning and I'll take you guys up.
Oh, shit.
And it's like, all right, cool. Well, then they start friend requesting us and messaging us because, again, the winds were picked up, and so you couldn't really go out on the water. And they were like, our houseboat's bigger than yours. You're probably getting rocked over there. You guys should come over here and party with us this afternoon. Okay.
Yeah.
And so we got a tour of the yacht. We got to check out the helicopter.
What was his wake boat?
His wake boat is a Nautique G25 Paragon.
Nice. I don't know a lot about wake boats, but
that's a $500,000 boat without tax and without extra bells and whistles. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice boat.
So the yacht was like a 63-foot cabin cruiser with 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, full galley kitchen.
Nice.
I mean, mega badass.
Nice.
The houseboat, it was a fairly run-of-the-mill large houseboat. It wasn't an Adonia. It wasn't a mega. I mean, it was nice. I'm not trying to downgrade it.
I do have a question. Why would you have a houseboat and a yacht? There's two of them. The two guys.
They were two friends.
Okay.
A boat dealership and one owns an aviation dealership.
Gotcha.
And so they brought their toys. Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
So in the comments of all of this stuff,
why wouldn't you just take one or the other? You know what? It doesn't matter.
They're all bringing out their toys, right? They're enjoying.
You got a yacht and you got a houseboat. There's two of you.
Oh no, no, there were 15 or 18 people there all together.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
There were a lot of people.
Okay.
And so one of the comments, you got these, when you start putting out videos, you're going to have these ultra strict people. There's different classes of people that will comment on your shit.
Haters.
One of them is the well actuallys. Okay? It's a whole group of people that will contradict your video and try to tell you why you're wrong. Well, actually, it's this way. Right. And one thing about it, you'll never get hate from somebody who's beneath you you'll never get hate from somebody who's farther down the path than you. Right.
Yeah.
And so one of the common denominators of all these hateful comments,
unless it's me commenting on your shit,
yeah,
then that person's been further than you.
one of the common denominators is these haters have like 200 followers. Right. And they've made almost no posts. And it's like, yeah, you're doing this wrong.
Yeah.
But anyway. There were all these people that were like, you need to turn that guy into the FFA. It's illegal to land a helicopter on the beach in Lake Powell and blah, blah, blah.
Dude, fuck you. You voting Democrat?
You want
more taxes, more overreach? You want people telling you what to do? Fuck off.
Before we met him and introduced ourselves to him, there was a really cool rock back there that we were trying to get to the top of. And so we had to walk around their little beach site.
Yeah.
And then now... My wife's downstairs.
It's because my fucking Aston Martin's sitting out
probably
front.
But
I'll ask her if she wants to race when we get done.
Yeah. So now I've got a photo. They were actually parking the helicopter on a barge. They basically ripped off the whole top of a houseboat and they put a console on it.
Oh, nice.
And like a 250 horse motor, and they land their helicopter on this barge because it is against FAA rules to land on the beach or on a rock in Lake Powell.
So stupid.
It is stupid, but that's why like Heavy D has his barge for his Blackhawk and everything else, right?
Yeah, I get it why guys are doing it, but I don't want to get into a whole government thing here.
Yeah.
Continue with your story. I don't want to off-track you.
So we end up making friends with these guys. We go chat with them. They are cool as fuck. They are your and my guys kind of people, right? These guys don't give no fucks about anything. They're nice as can be.
Got money, still drinking Coors Lights.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Coors Light, Natty's Light.
Yes.
No, not even Tito's. Cheap vodka. Like
Tito's is cheap.
Not McCormick cheap, but I mean,
like Svedka.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's my kind of peeps.
But But they were talking about, like, man, those videos you put, there's a lot of trolls on those and everything else. And they were like, you handle them well. I don't know how to interact on social media that well. And
I do.
And all this. They were like, I really just don't give a fuck enough about what other people think to even interact with that stuff.
That's me.
And but they were cool as fuck. And we started talking about their businesses and everything that they do and all this stuff. Like, made friends with them.
Did you tell them to help us with TradeWinds? Get more members?
They're not in the class to get us members for TradeWinds. But... I probably have a Lake Powell connection for houseboat rental or whatever else
there
in the future.
Okay.
So
hey,
maybe
we
do a TradeWinds event. Yeah.
You know what? No. the TradeWinds guys, they're on my shit list right
now. So anyway.
With events.
Those videos got me probably 500,000 views just from those videos across TikTok and across Facebook and everything else, right? And so those videos take off. Well, I made another video of Danielle and I going to date night. Date night's every Wednesday night, no exceptions. Happens every Wednesday, right? And so Danielle and I take off on the wakeboat for date night in the middle of Lake Powell. We leave the boys in the houseboat and we go take off. And I had strategically planned where we were going to be staying on Wednesday because there is this really cool slot canyon that you can drive a boat through. And so I'm like, I'm taking Danielle to the slot canyon. And so we go touring through the slot canyon for date night, and we find this little beach. And when I say little beach, I mean this beach is like
10 feet.
10 feet wide, 6 feet long, and it's in a like 10 feet wide and 6 feet deep, and it's in a triangle. And I'm like, that's probably big enough for me to nose the front of my boat onto that little beach.
That's
right?
It. That's all I got.
So I nose the front of the boat onto the little beach, and we're hanging out and we're doing what you do on date night, right?
Eating dinner, having drinks, got it.
No.
That's what you do on date night.
Okay. Well, I'm doing what you do after date night.
Okay, there we go. All right. I just want clarification.
We made sure we took advantage of the scenery and the remote nature of the slot canyon. But anyway.
Okay, slot canyon. Got it. Understood.
Right.
Okay.
So
continue, sir.
In the process of all this, you're always mindful of your
process
depth
of what?
Of maneuvering the boat around the canyon.
We've moved back a little bit. We got to get your thoughts in line, Mitchell.
You're always mindful of the depth because the depth in Lake Powell can go anywhere from 0 to 300+ feet deep.
Yeah, there are bluffs.
And there's bluffs and there's canyons and there's monuments that are under the water. And with the varying changing water levels, you could have a 200-foot tall monument in 205 feet of water.
Yeah.
And you're running along at 205 feet, and then all of a sudden, clump, you smack your prop on a 200-foot tall rock, right?
Done it. Not in Lake Powell, but in Ray R. Lakes here.
Yeah. And so you're always mindful of the depth. Well, I beach the boat, and I take a look at the depth finder, because I'm wondering, my depth finder reads off the back of my boat.
Yeah, most
and
of them
so do. I'm wondering how deep is the prop? Like, how much clearance do I have on the prop? And I'm blown away. It's 242 feet deep on the back of the boat.
And beached.
And
the front
of the boat is beached.
Yeah. Bluff.
And I'm like,
it's a bluff.
That's a video right there.
Crunch.
Okay. So I make a video about it. It goes crazy viral. Well, I mention in the video that it's Wednesday night, it's date night. Wednesday night, date night happens on Wednesday,
this
no exceptions.
This is before the sex?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to get my timeline.
You're good.
I got to get my timeline straight here, bro.
So people go nuts in a positive way.
We're
going to
see it. We're on our way.
They're like, everyone's like, this is not where I thought that you talked about date night. I see her grinning in the background. Like, this is not where I thought this video was going.
Oh, shit.
Right?
You disappointed people at the same time.
Somebody, let me.
Either start an OF or get shit off the pot, bud.
Look at, so these comments.
I don't want to see these comments.
Oh, no, they're fucking gold.
I don't
want
to see these comments.
It's 192,000 views on this one little video, okay?
I love how, first off, let me see. Turn a little bit. Let me see. I'm disappointed in date night. She's wearing a sweatshirt.
It was a little chilly.
I don't give a fuck.
It came off. Don't worry.
No, that's it.
But look at these views. Screenshot of her. It says satisfied customer service.
So, oh my God.
But the views went crazy. The comments went crazy and everything, and it was great engagement, right? So that's a lead up to this last experience that I'm going to tell you about. We were out surfing in the middle of the bay one time, okay? And it's rougher seas, and we're about ready to pack it in. Everyone's fighting for their life out there in these rough seas. Well, I crash on the foil, and I'm fairly close to this other boat. And so Mason turns around to pick me up. Well, this other boat kind of turns around and starts heading our way. And this guy hollers from his boat. He's like, hey, are you on TikTok? And I'm like, yeah.
Hey, dog, you on TikTok?
He's like, I've been following your whole journey. It's great. Keep it up. I saw date night. But again, it's an just like it's the gold. Orange Mustang from the first experience with this, this is the algorithm putting your views in front of people that need to see your videos at that time. Okay?
To the best of their ability.
To the best of the algorithm. The algorithm wants to 100%. Help you out, right? And so when you make videos for your plumbing company, your heating cooling company, your electrical company, your tile company, whatever.
Yeah, it's proximity first. And it's then going everything to put after that.
Yeah. So in other words, the algorithms and the microphones on the phone hear a husband and wife say, maybe we should retile our kitchen. And now the algorithms are going to start pointing tile related content at them. And so if you're a tile guy and you're putting out tile like before and after stuff, and you get a little creative with the videos, this is where your liberal arts degree is going to pay off. It definitely ain't going to pay off anywhere else. But
dude, that is the best thing you've ever said on this podcast in four fucking 5 years.
So you get a little creative with it, and all of a sudden, you're going to see some really cool response. And now, who are they looking at, right? So some accounts to follow.
I can't do the liberal arts degree.
I'm going to give you some accounts to follow. One is a guy named Luke McFadden, okay? He does, I think it's shrimping. Where'd he go? He was just here. Luke McFadden.
Luke McFadden. What's he, shrimp? You know where we're going, shrimping's a big deal.
Crabbing. He's a crab fisherman.
He's on the East Coast then.
He has one point. He's a crab fisherman. Boring.
People love crab. Dude, it's not boring.
Hold on.
No, it's not. I love it.
How many crab fishermen are out there?
A billion.
How many out there think this is boring? It's just a fucking job. A billion.
Yeah, probably.
He goes out there and films his day-to-day life, his everyday life. He's not creating, he's not manufacturing videos. He's simply recording what's happening on the day-to-day basis.
I know, I get it.
1.7 million followers, 37.7 million likes. And that's just on TikTok, okay?
I'm not arguing. I agree.
People
think the fucking shit just shut off.
So another guy to follow, and I know these are maritime things. His name is Jacob Knowles. He's a lobster fisherman.
Love that too.
Boring as fuck job.
No,
right?
But exciting.
He dives into showing what lobsters you can catch and what ones you can't, and this one's an egger and this one's not, and he always, when he catches, he's like half the lobsters he catches he can't keep from regulations.
Yeah,
but he dives into why. Here's why I can't keep this one. Look, and he opens it up, it's full of eggs.
Well, your point is people think their jobs are more boring than they really are. That lobster fisherman may want to see what a plumber's digging up in Missouri because it's fucking 12 feet deep. They're like, they're doing what?
Yeah, exactly.
Why? Out here, we're on the beach. The sewer's fucking 2 foot deep. Why?
Yeah.
In Louisiana, George Diaz is digging up a water service that's 8 inches deep. People in Missouri that are even doing the same thing he's doing, they're like, dude, our shit's got to be 42 inches.
Right.
Because it freezes up here. What the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
There's a guy in Minnesota that's like, ours got to be 7 feet. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
If it's engaging content and it's real,
it's authentic. Unquote,
authentic is a better word for it. People will notice it.
Yeah.
They will follow it. It will be engaging. And then the algorithm will pick up the most engaging that has to do with proximity to your location.
Yeah.
And give that to people that are looking for plumbing work.
Yeah. And so
it's more simple than we want to make it sometimes.
Obviously, you guys follow guy. If you're a plumber listening to this show, you've probably heard of Boston Plumbing Monster.
I don't know.
Do you think that guy's hurting for advertising work?
Nah,
no,
probably
he
not.
Has more work than he can shake a stick at. He chooses to keep a small company. That's his prerogative. I'm not knocking it at all. He's in a perfect storm. He has all the attention. He has all the clients, and he gets to pick and choose the most profitable work. It's awesome. All because of content, okay? There's tons of other content creators out there. Content creator used to be kind of a taboo word. Now it's not. because it is literally the way that you get work. It's literally the way that you get clients, and it pays you.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not free. It's free plus if just, you do it well enough.
I finally got eligible for monetization on Facebook, and I'm like, I'm 4 months in, and I'm already making $400 a month on Facebook. Just imagine how much I'd be making if I was monetized 2 and 3 years ago like I should have been. Okay?
I don't know.
There was some weird glitch that kept me from getting monetized, but I mean, I could be into the thousands by now, right? Our YouTube channel still makes over $1,000 a month, and we haven't put a full-length video up in 2 years. So the content pays the bills. The content also brings you clients. The content is the way forward with your business.
Mitch, you got to wrap us up, buddy.
Yeah, I do. So, I'm getting
no, she's
look.
Fucking bitching. That's why you got to wrap us up.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're a fucking troll.
I don't know what she's looking at me like that for.
Next
so,
door. I'm sorry.
Essentially, guys, the whole purpose of this show is to show you how content puts you in front of people that you never thought you would be in front of before, and it puts you in front of the right people. The Orange Mustang guy saw my content after we had that negative interaction. Now we're cool. The guy with the yacht and the helicopter saw our content. We got a tour of the yacht and the helicopter, right? All of those things happen simply because I'm filming our day-to-day life. I'm not creating any of these experiences. I'm just filming them. And I'm putting it together on TikTok and on Instagram and on Facebook. So start putting your business on Facebook and watch your business explode. Start putting your business on TikTok and Instagram and watch your business explode. Your empathy, your authenticity will show as long as you keep it interesting. So put that liberal arts degree to use and,
I thought we
and make
that
some freaking content.
That thing die.
So we'll see you guys next week.
See you.